Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I hope you enjoyed your weekend, other than the giant cricket. It was giant, too, I'm telling you. It was hopping all over the kitchen. And I was trying to focus on baseball and football at the same time, and there's this giant cricket staring at me. So initially, I grab this cup, and I try to put it over top of the cricket until I can figure out what to do with it, just to keep him there so he doesn't go hopping around the rest of my house. And the freaking thing was so fast. He was like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, DK Metcalf. And he had ups, mad ups. And so every time I got close to him with the cup, the thing would pop up in the air, which would cause me to scream, which would keep the cricket popping all over the place. Oh my gosh. So he finally hops behind my counter, and I was just going to leave him there after my heart rate subsided. But would you know, that thing popped his head out again about 2 minutes later. It was after I had tweeted about the giant cricket who was hopping all over the place. He sticks his head out, and then he kind of gets brave with his bad self and comes out in the middle of the kitchen. Now, I didn't try the cup again this time because that clearly was not the right strategy. I grab my fly swatter and give him a whack, and in one fell swoop, my first try, The fly swatter route worked. Now then I had to clean him up. Ooh, one of his legs was laying next to his body. It was really gross. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he was so big that I was afraid he might, like, I don't know, get on my hands even with a paper towel. So it was not my favorite thing ever. But minimal screaming, I'll say, once he was dead. Okay. It's very dramatic. Not my kind of crazy. That would be hashtag not my kind of crazy. Bugs in the kitchen. Also, how the heck did he get into my kitchen? It didn't get out of the 50s, it didn't get out of the 40s at my house on Sunday. So I don't know how he got inside because there were no doors and windows open. But I did a bunch of yard work on Saturday afternoon, so maybe he snuck in with the yard work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I mean, that was not the kind of drama I was looking for. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. What's your kind of crazy from the weekend? I'll also say my kind of crazy is Clayton Kershaw throwing out a runner trying to steal home with two outs in the fourth inning of the World Series. And the fact that Kershaw had the presence of mind not only to hear what his teammates, what the dugout were saying to him, but to calmly stuff off the rubber so he doesn't balk and then throw the ball home in time to get Manuel Margot attempting to steal home plate. I'm going to steal it and run away with it. That was also my kind of crazy. And the World Series on Saturday, game four, nutso. I wanted to watch a movie, but that never happened because this game required my undivided attention until the end. So I did not. I actually found Money Pit. It's queued up on my DVR, but I never did get to it. There was no way to watch it on Sunday, of course. So I don't know if I'll get to it this week. It depends on whether or not we have any nights that are not completely dominated by sports, which hasn't been the case for 2 months. But I did see your tweets. Many of you said to me that you watched Money Pit over the weekend, so that's awesome. Okay, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, what is your kind of crazy from this weekend? Already a big tussle going on for Monday MVP. And I know we left Davante Adams out. I got you. Devontae had an incredible game, career high in yards, just like Tyler Lockett. And the reason Lockett is in there is because Lockett had 3 touchdowns and 15 catches and 200 yards. So his numbers were just a little bit better. But Devontae Adams is awesome, and Aaron Rodgers needs him to be healthy and be on the field. But right now we got a back and forth going with Lockett, Baker, Brady, and then Jeff Wilson Jr. bringing up the rear, probably because most people have never heard of him before. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, what was your kind of crazy from the sports weekend, and who is your Monday MVP? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You know a team is dangerous when they find ways to win, either ugly or without their normal weapons being locked in, without their normal rhythm, without their normal groove. A team that can win when it's uncomfortable, a team that can win when maybe their top options are taken away, or their all-world quarterback and their running game are not operating the way they're used to, or maybe they're playing in the snow, and so all bets are off. I just want to play football in the snow. One of the things that I love about the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the things that has made them a Super Bowl champion, is that they find different ways to win. And even when Patrick Mahomes isn't chucking the ball up and down the field, even when Travis Kelce isn't catching 8 passes for 100 yards and a couple of scores, they still have other ways that they can beat you.
Chiefs 10, Broncos 6, empty backfield. Pass sidearm, pass intercepted. It's Dan Sorensen, a pick 6. Dan Sorensen, dirty Dan Sorensen, as Drew Lock throws a 50-yard pick 6 for dirty Dan, the 3rd pick 6 of his career. This kick will be a return. This is Pringle, former K-State star, on a right return across the 40-yard line. He's up to the near side at the 45, pushes by the wall. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Byron Pringle. And the K-State fans that are Chiefs fans can rejoice for a second straight day.
Definitely nice for me. I mean, it's nice that we'll be able to go out there and win in several different ways. And I think we kind of found our footing on that at the end of last year, and it's kind of continuing to this year.
You hear the voice of one Patrick Mahomes. It's defense and special teams who sparked the victory for the Chiefs in the snow in Denver. Mitch Holtis with the calls on the Chiefs radio network. Daniel Sorensen with a 50-yard pick 6 off Drew Lock, and then Byron Pringle, 102 yards for a score. That takes some gas. In fact, you need some oxygen after that in many cases, especially if you're in Denver in the Mile High City. And so the Chiefs, they are on the winning track again. We know that they had a minor blip, and Mahomes only has 200 yards in this one, 1 score. They barely get over 100 yards rushing, but Le'Veon Bell makes his Chiefs debut, has a couple of runs that are about 16 yards apiece. Nothing incredibly dynamic. In fact, the Chiefs defense gave up 177 yards rushing to the Broncos, but the defense for KC picks off Drew Lock twice, also puts a bunch of pressure on him, 3 sacks, a half dozen quarterback hits, and special teams comes up with some big plays. And so the Chiefs have the most wins in the AFC, tied with the Steelers at 6. And after losing to the Raiders a couple of weeks ago, they bounce back with road wins against the Bills and the Broncos. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Should we talk about the Bills while we're talking about finding ways to win, while we're talking about winning ugly? It was the Bills and the Jets. I suppose you thought that it was going to be ugly anyway. And for Buffalo, a pair of missed field goals, a Josh Allen strip sack and a fumble that results in a Jets touchdown. That's what we're dealing with here. The Buffalo Bills, they can scrap, though. And as it turns out, they have a kicker who can also do some damage.
This will make it an 8-point game, give the Bills a little more breathing space. With 2 minutes to play, there's the snap. The hold is good. The kick is on the way. It is true. It is good. It is 18-10. The Bills leading the New York Jets. Who would have figured this would be Tyler Bass Day? I hereby proclaim it Tyler Bass Day in the state of New York.
Tyler Bass goes 6 of 8 on his kicks. 4 field goals in the second half, as you hear on the Bills radio network. There were so many chances for the Jets. So many. And Sam Darnold was back on the field. But in the second half, they mustered a whole lot of nothing. 4 punts and an interception for the Jets offense. And so Darnold returns with a couple of interceptions, 120 yards. And even though the Bills are 0-5 in the red zone, how about that? 0-5 in the red zone plus, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is not what we normally see from the Bills, but we have in recent weeks. So I'm a little bit nervous about the Bills being undisciplined and committing a bunch of penalties. So they're 0-5 in the red zone, and they have 106 penalty yards. If they're playing anybody else but the Jets, this is a loss for Buffalo.
There's still certain situations where I could have put the ball in better spots, where we could have given ourselves a chance in the end zone. So I know that, again, it's a division win. You know, we're going to take these when we can get them. We're going to take all wins we can get them. You know, wins aren't easy in the NFL. So, again, it's a win.
There's certainly things we did well. Moving the football through the middle of the field. We can't hurt ourselves in the red zone. Some self-inflicted wounds there. And coming up with 3 instead of 7s. And that's what keeps a team in the game.
Any other team, and this is their 3rd straight loss. On the road at Nashville, they got smoked. Against the Chiefs, okay, the final score was respectable, but it wasn't really a close game. Two of the top teams in the AFC, they fall flat on their face. Now, I do give them props for winning an ugly game. As I said to start the hour, I applaud teams. I admire teams. I think teams that can find other ways to win, unconventional ways to win, those are teams that you have to worry about because they can hurt you a variety of ways. But 0-5 in the red zone, you hear Josh Allen talking about it. And then again, what really concerns me, 11 flags for 106 penalty yards. The Jets played some really good defense in this one. Good to have Quinnen Williams on the field. He was everywhere. But their offense is abysmal. So the Bills play their worst game. I could probably call it their worst game on the right day, if that makes sense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, yes, Adam Gase still is the coach of the New York Jets. I keep hearing the speculation out there that maybe they had a conversation in the Jets front office and decided they would leave Adam Gase as the head coach because that would be the easiest way for them to lose every single one of their games and get the number one pick. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but I thought that was funny. Like, they actually talked about it in the Jets front office. You know what? Let's just leave the guy as the head coach because clearly we suck. They're not going to win with him. So that'll mean we get the number one pick because there are some other teams out there that only have one win. And so we got to be careful about getting that one win. Oy. You know, when those are the conversations or purported conversations, you are in dire straits, peeps. There are teams out there who have just as many problems as the New York Jets. They may have some wins, but they have just as many problems as the Jets. And let's be honest, on Sunday, even with the NFC East wide, wide open, it went from bad to worse for Dallas.
Dalton back to throw, and they protect him, and he rolls right and runs out of the end zone and slides at the 10.
That's going to be a late hit.
Oh, he got nailed.
Yep.
And he is not up yet. His helmet got knocked off, and there are literally 4 flags down there. Dalton's hurt. Ben DiNucci, warm up, because it's going to be an automatic first down.
Ben DiNucci. How many people were Googling Ben DiNucci who aren't Dallas Cowboys fans? The rookie quarterback has to take over after a nasty, unnecessary, excessive, and what looked to be an intentional targeting with John Bostic. Now, Bostic was immediately chucked, figuratively, not literally. He was ejected for this hit. He lowered his helmet and went directly at Andy Dalton, made helmet-to-helmet contact, of course gave Dalton a concussion, and he did not come back after this hit, which was about midway through the third quarter. The call there with Brad Sham on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. It didn't get any better with Ben DiNucci. Probably has taken very few reps in practice, but also he was under fire. He was under siege the same way that Dalton was, the same way that Dak has been. But as I tweeted during the game, Jerry Jones doesn't even need to wait until the season is over. I say go ahead and get the deal done with Dak while he's recovering from his ankle injury, because at least Dak is athletic and mobile enough to move around and maybe to extend plays. Now, I'm not saying he fares that much better behind this offensive line, but the fact is he doesn't necessarily need to stay behind the offensive line. He at least is mobile enough that he can escape some trouble. But that's not the case with Andy Dalton. And it was brutal even before he got knocked out. But I do believe that Bostic hit warrants, if not a suspension, a very hefty fine. I don't generally believe that one athlete targets another or tries to hurt another. But in this case, he lowered his helmet to point it toward the ground as Dalton was sliding. It wasn't necessary. He could have gone in straight up or level and still tackled him and probably still gotten a flag, but maybe not gotten ejected. This was helmet-to-helmet contact. Now, credit Washington, because they had over 200 rushing yards. Antonio Gibson, 128 yards and a score. Kyle Allen, a couple of touchdown passes. And Washington wallops Dallas. Crazy enough, the Eagles are at 2-4-1 in first place in the NFC East. Washington's at 2-5. The Dallas Cowboys are at 2-5. That leaves the Giants as the caboose at 1-6. I love the word caboose. And so the NFC East did nothing to change our perceptions. But now for Dallas, I don't know if they make a move at quarterback. The trade deadline comes up November 3rd, same as the election. And so maybe the Cowboys are going to make a move, but maybe not. I mean, yes, the division is still there for the taking. Really, anything can happen at this point, and they all have to play each other again. But Dalton is likely out for next week, maybe longer. Thankfully, he was in good spirits. He traveled home with the team, and I hope that there are no long-term ramifications, but he's got a clear concussion protocol. And that offensive line lost Zach Martin today with a concussion, or he was out today because of a concussion, and that line can't even function halfway reasonably without Zach Martin. And so it's a mess. It's a disaster. And I thought it was interesting, and then we'll take our break. I know I'm running a little bit late. I thought it was interesting that a couple of veterans came out before this game. The ones I heard quoted were Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. They came out before the game and said, no way. There are not guys in this locker room going to reporters and saying anonymously, these guys can't coach, they're unprepared, they don't teach, la, 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 la. They actually said, in essence, that Jane Slater was making those reports up. Now, I don't think that's the case. But maybe if you think about where Elliott and Cooper are coming from, they represent the veterans, the guys who've been in Dallas for a while. Maybe there are a couple of disgruntled practice squad guys or disgruntled guys who are not getting their time. Whatever it is, they defended McCarthy. I've seen veterans on Twitter talking about how this is not on the coaching staff. This is on us. But Mike McCarthy had the talk with them at halftime.
Frankly, talked to them at halftime about the here-we-go-again mode on the sidelines, and we got to move past that. That's part of making progress throughout the season. We need to learn from our mistakes. We can't keep letting our mistakes holding us down and holding us back.
At what point do the Cowboys themselves take responsibility? This defense is hideous. I know they've got some guys who are banged up. Everybody does. Talk to the Niners about that. And yet there's no pride. I don't see them playing with any pride. And certainly there's some of it's on the coaching staff, but some of it's just on these men. These are men. These are adult males. You can't allow the losing to keep you from trying. And if that's the case, then maybe you need to find another job. If that's all you're made of, when the going gets tough, you fold up, your tent just blows over in the wind, then maybe you need to find another job. Give somebody else an opportunity. Just one more, and this is on the flip side, because I do want to give credit to Ron Rivera and the Washington football team. This is a division win for them. They've made quarterback changes. Now, their defense is really darn good, and today they used the run. But also for Rivera, it's kind of cool because early this week, he's expected to wrap up his treatment for cancer, and so he can go into that final treatment with a smile on his face, knowing Washington grabbed its second win.
I think it's very important, especially with the fact that we have another division opponent coming up after the bye. And it's an opportunity for us to, hopefully hunker in and play well and see what happens and come out on the right side of that. We can be right in the thick of what's going on in our division.
Hunker in. I like it. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it like that, but I like it. So good for Ron Rivera. Big week for Washington. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're going to get to your calls, 855-212-4227. And Detroit steals a win from the Falcons. However, this is Atlanta's fault. Okay, Todd Gurley's mad.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's Atlanta, first and goal with 72 seconds left. Snapping it at the Detroit 10.
Ball security now. Ball
Gurley
security.
The carry at the 5. Todd fell down. Did he fall down shy of the goal line or did he score? No, he broke the plane of the end zone. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Whoopsie. Todd Gurley tried not to score so quickly. So he wanted to pull up short of the goal line in those final seconds. Instead, he ends up falling forward into the end zone. He kind of tried to turn, and his momentum carried him forward, as you hear on the Falcons radio network with Wes Durham. And there was way too much time left on the clock. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This was a crazy fourth quarter between Detroit and Atlanta. So let me backtrack just a little bit. The Falcons choose at the beginning of the fourth quarter to not go for a field goal, but instead to try to score on fourth down or to get a first down in the red zone and continue their drive. They fail in that endeavor, and they come away with 0 points in the red zone. So this is early fourth quarter. Falcons are still up by a point. So then Detroit misses a field goal. Falcons get the ball back, and Matt Ryan gets stripped on a sack, and he fumbles, which then gives the ball back to Detroit, who makes a field goal. Okay, so you go from missed field goal to fumble takeaway for the Lions to kicking the go-ahead field goal. Now they're up by the 2 points. They're up 16-14. So then you have this Todd Gurley 10-yard touchdown. He says he was mad at himself because he was trying to stay out of the end zone. He doesn't. There's a minute left on the clock because the Falcons got in too soon. And the Lions turn around and march down the field. Now, I just want to set this up with a couple of the plays from what was a 75-yard drive that took just over a minute. TJ Hockenson, 13-yard reception, first down. Danny Amendola, 22-yard catch and run for a first down. And then Matt Stafford deep downfield to Kenny Golladay for 29 yards. So Stafford's locked in. They don't have time to run the ball, and the Lions don't run the ball anyway much. And so they are primed and ready and in position. 3 seconds to go. Matt Stafford spikes the ball to stop the clock, and they have one more shot at it.
From the Falcon, 11-yard line, down by six, final play of the game. Stafford empty out of the gun. He's got it back. Looks, pumps one, steps up, looks, throws, and
yes!
Carr gets down, Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson,
yes!
They did it. They've tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yes,
how big is that?
The Dan Miller call is delicious. Dan Miller kills it. He always does, but that's amazing. Trust me, this will be a candidate for TD of the week. TJ Hockenson, no time left on the clock, hauls in the pass from Stafford, but in order to get the actual W, they've got one more snap.
48-yard extra point to secure the win for the Lions. Mühlbach to snap. There it is. Fox the hold. Kick away. It is up. It is good. It is good. We got another flag down. What is it? We got a flag down. What is it? Is this game over or not? This is over. Pack it up, boys, and come home. Come home with your second straight win.
Okay, the 48-yard extra point, that's got to be one of my favorite phrases of the entire weekend. There were flags, as you can hear with Dan Miller on the Lions Radio Network. The last flag, though, after the 48-yard extra point was declined, and the Lions get the win. And man alive, what a bunch of drama in the fourth quarter, but ultimately a game-winning touchdown for Matt Stafford.
I was just happy that they gave us, you know, rightfully so, one more chance. We spiked it and then dialed something up that worked and was able to buy a little extra time and shoot one to Hawk for a touchdown.
Meanwhile, all Matt Ryan could do is stand on the sidelines and watch. Now, they had done their work, but they left a minute on the clock.
In those end-of-game situations, you'd always, you know, rather be on the field with the ball in your hand. It's tough when you're over there watching, but, you know, credit to them. Matthew made some great plays there at the end of the game and a nice play at the end to get the touchdown.
Matt and Matthew, two really good quarterbacks, both of them. The situations that they're in, they suck. Well, they have. Let me amend that. The Lions are now 3-3. Okay. The Falcons fall to 1-6. And it's interesting. If you're a Falcons fan, I'd love to know whether or not you're on board with the Raheem Morris choice to skip the field goal early in the fourth quarter, which would have theoretically put your team up by four, which would mean that when the Lions tacked on their field goal later in the fourth quarter, then you're still up by one. Then if you score the Todd Gurley touchdown and you make the extra point, you're up by eight. Now, it's still just one score, but it kind of changes what happens maybe moving forward. The Falcons fall to 1-6, and they're 0-4 at home. Meanwhile, the Lions are at 3-3. And for those of you who are long-suffering Lions fans, I got to say, to be 3-3 in the NFC North, pretty impressive behind the 5-1 Bears and Packers. All right. I promise, straight ahead, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. For CBS, still haven't even talked about the Packers win over the Texans. We'll try to squeeze that in as well. There's a lot going on. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers rounding into form. The Saints win as well in the NFC South. What was your kind of crazy from this weekend?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We'll be right back. Opening drive of the game, Rodgers shotgun. Set back to his right, Jamal Williams. And Rodgers takes the snap. Sets, throws, right side, Devontae. Touchdown, Green Bay. Play action, Rodgers, jump pass right side. He's got the tight end for the touchdown, Jace Sternberger. On a shallow cross from left to right. And the Packers lead 13-0. Rodgers looks to throw, dumps left side. Got his man. Touchdown, Malik Taylor. Oh, my goodness. Little sleight of hand with a fake handoff and then a half roll to the left. And Aaron Rodgers found a wide open number 86 in the end zone for the touchdown. Here's the snap to Rodgers. Looks, rainbows right side. He's got his man, Devontae Adams, to the 10 to the 5 right side to the end zone. Cutting it back. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Aaron Rodgers near perfect in the second half against Houston on Sunday. Three touchdowns, including the first that he's ever thrown to Jace Sternberger and Malik Taylor. Aaron Rodgers is one of those quarterbacks, and there are some in the NFL now and, of course, in the past, who bring up the level of everyone else on the field, who turn no names into viable starting receivers or viable options. Obviously, a Peyton Manning could do it, a Brett Favre could do it, a Tom Brady could do it, a Drew Brees can do it. The best quarterbacks are the ones who make everyone else around them better, and that's definitely Rodgers. And sometimes it's by necessity. Sometimes it's just because they like to spread the wealth and keep the defense guessing. Certainly his top target now that he's healthy again is Devontae Adams. And Devontae was already over 100 yards with a touchdown in the first half. You hear the montage there of Rodgers' TD passes on the Packers radio network. Wayne Larrivee, the great play-by-play voice. So Houston manages 20 points in the second half, but can't keep Green Bay from two more touchdowns. I've seen a couple of highlights, quote-unquote, of the Houston Texans, which feature J.J. Watt ticked off, throwing things, angry about the defense. You change the head coach, okay. It doesn't mean your defense automatically is going to play like it's a world beater. They have a lot of talent, just still not a good team. Rodgers finishes with zero sacks, and that's the part that impressed me the most about what Green Bay did on the offensive line, but also what the Texans did not do, did not mount a pass rush. The Pack rebound from what was a crushing loss at Tampa. Remember, they were up 10-0 and then gave up 38 straight points. That wasn't this. They are now 5-1, tied with the Bears, who will play Monday in Los Angeles. And I'm looking forward to seeing that game. Also, just as a side note, Kurt Warner, the Hall of Fame quarterback, will join us after he gets done with his Monday Night Football responsibilities. Eek! Considering that he and Kevin Harlan were talking about me on last week's Monday Night Football broadcast, I'm going to be really nervous. I'm going to try not to stumble over my words. I'm a big fan of Kurt Warner. I don't get intimidated or nervous about many interviews, but this is one that I've wanted for a long time, so I'm really looking forward to it. Whether it's Bears, whether it's Rams who win, Kurt Warner will be part of our show come this time tomorrow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Deshaun Watson finishes with relatively good numbers, but all of it comes in garbage time after Aaron Rodgers had been moving the Pack up and down the field seamlessly.
I mean, as a guy that you got to score a lot of points versus, you know, because whenever they step on the field, they're trying to score points. You got to make sure you try to, you know, match it as much as possible. You don't want to kind of compete, you know, and try to go, toe-to-toe, but at the same time, you gotta make sure you're doing whatever you can to keep them off the field.
The Houston Texans, I don't know if it's going from bad to worse. I just don't think it's getting better. They did get the one win, but they are also at 1-6 after back-to-back losses. They've got the same record as the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got a taste of Justin Herbert on Sunday, and they've now lost 6 in a row. Is Doug Marrone long for this coaching job? I don't know who gets replaced first. I would think it would be either Marrone or Adam Gase, but I don't know. Both of those coaches seem to have 9 lives, at least to this point. 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, which is sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary as we approach Halloween, which will be unlike any other? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night, or you could listen to the show instead. Switch to Geico and save, and then sleep calmly during the daytime, peacefully, when you're saving money. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Austin, who's in Dallas. Austin, I heard you on the show before mine. Do you just call every single show on the network?
Just when the Cowboys drive me crazy.
Oh, so this is like your therapy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you nailed it about the effort and the you know, no heart. I mean, Andy Dalton got his, you know, he got cheap shotted, and you'd think this offensive line would stand up or retaliate, and they just stand there the whole game. You know, they don't even do anything. It's like, you know, and then this defense, I mean, they claim themselves to be the hot boys, which I don't see that. I mean, they haven't been hot since 2018. And just mediocrity throughout the whole team. But, I mean, you're right. It's starting to look like the players are just, I mean, you feel bad for McCarthy. You hope that, you know, they're not showing any effort or anything. I mean, the only player I could see on defense who you can keep this year is maybe Diggs, but everyone else, and Van Der Esch, but he got banged up again today. So I don't know if you can trust his health, but everyone else, I mean, they got to make some decisions on whether they're going to trade him or cut him next year. But, I mean, it's just embarrassing. We got blown out by a team who doesn't even have a football name.
Okay. Well, they have one hell of a good coach, though. And by the way, you mentioned Leighton Van Der Esch. He actually was saying after the game that this is on the Cowboys. This is on them for not executing, for not doing their jobs. It's not on the coaching staff, which I thought was interesting. Also thought it was interesting to hear from some of the veterans that no way are they going behind the backs of the locker room or leaking out of the locker room that the coaching staff is to blame. I don't know what. Mike McCarthy can't get out there and play himself. That would be bad. And maybe Mike Nolan's not a fit, but they're not as bad as what they're playing, or they shouldn't be as bad as what they're playing. And I think now, obviously, it's going to catch up with them. If they don't have a veteran quarterback, it's going to be even worse. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's the whole thing is, it's like a avalanche. It's just picking up its speed and momentum as it slides down the mountain.
Yeah, and I mean, we make no-name running backs are having career days on this defense, and it just looks like the defensive line's just getting blown up from the beginning of the snap. I mean, it's embarrassing. They had, I think the Redskins had like 160 yards rushing in the first half, and that was the most they've had in the game, and they did it against us in the first half. I mean, that's effort at that point. That's not on coaching, so I agree with you on that. But my question to you, and I know you talk about you don't like teams to tank or play to lose. But
no, I think teams don't tank. The front office may want them to, but you can't convince a locker room of guys to go out there and lose on purpose. Not to mention the coaches, they're playing for jobs. I mean, Mike McCarthy's already been fired once. Why the hell would he be tanking? The front office may love that strategy, but in this case, I don't think it's the Cowboys don't. They don't have a reason to tank, number one. They're still right in the mix, weirdly as it sounds. They're still right in the mix for the NFC East title. But also, they believe they've got their franchise quarterback. Now, I suppose anybody would draft Trevor Lawrence, but that doesn't really help their situation. I don't know. Like I said, it's a mess right now, but I do not believe they're tanking. I got to squeeze in another call here, Austin, but thank you so much for your phone call. 855-212-4227. I don't believe any team actually tanks. Let's talk to John, who's in Miami. John, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, huge fan of your show. I'm also a huge Steeler fan. Watching the first half of that game yesterday was pretty impressive if you're a Steeler fan. And then watching the second half was kind of a head scratcher. They went away from the game plan that they had in the first half, and they decided to start to throw down the field more and throw a lot, which isn't how they got their lead. And what's really weird is that Steelers were throwing right into the only strength that the defense has on the Titans, which is their cornerbacks, who are very good. So they went away from attacking the weaknesses of the Titans, and then they went right into their strengths, which obviously didn't work out that well. You know, that was like kind of concerning. Glad they came away with that win, and Gostkowski pretty much does what he does. You know, he misses field goals that are shorter than 50 yards at times, which is why his name's floating around the league. The next guy to get caught is looking for somebody to replace him. That's it. I mean, you know, other than that, I was impressed with how they played in the first half. And in one other funny thing comment was, like, you know, I just find it comical, the situation with Adam Gase. Now that I'm a Steeler fan who lives in Pittsburgh, now that I live in Miami. After all the things I've heard about Adam Gase, that things he did and how he acted and all that, it's amazing he got hired. It's amazing what he's doing up there, and he hasn't been fired. So he must have some great gift for gab with the brass of the Jets or something, because God knows why he still has a job, you know.
Yeah, no, he definitely does make an interesting first impression. You remember his press conference, John, thank you for your phone call, Miami. Call back anytime, especially as a Steelers fan. His press conference when he got introduced in New York, and it was those crazy eyes of Adam Gase that were just, they were scary. But Christopher Johnson wanted an alpha male. He wanted someone he thought could help Sam Darnold develop and improve, and that those are the two reasons he hired Adam Gase, but it's been a mess. Though the roster is also a total disaster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.